There's one. Set for stun.
Three guys sitting in a dark room that smells like bad cucumbers.
Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
Inconceivable!
Now featuring 11. 11 listeners.
This is me.
Give me 25.
This is the Unique Geek.
And welcome to another edition of 50 Days of Dragon Con, the podcast that reads like a book. And joining me tonight, as always, well, most of the time, is Lee.
As often as humanly possible, yes.
Is the hi very guys. Studious Lee.
Very studious. Mm-hmm. Hi, guys. It is wonderful to talk to everybody. But John, you don't read.
I don't. That's true.
That you don't read. You said that like repeatedly.
That is very, very true. I mean,
you
hold on,
are
wait. William is here. I mean, yes, I read all the time. Reading is important, and you should do as much reading as you possibly, as humanly possible.
I am glad your son is there. So I would like to ask William, who just started high school. Congratulations. I'm so sorry.
Hi.
It gets better. You go to college. and you can drink at 21. It even gets even better then. So, William.
Don't do drugs. Stay in school. Okay.
Yeah. Don't do drugs. Stay in school. Right. Hey, look, here's the deal. If he gets out of high school, if he graduates high school and he knows what he wants to do and he doesn't have a record and he hasn't gotten anyone pregnant out of wedlock because he's been careful, and you shouldn't have sex anyway because you're too young. But if he does all of this,
where is this going?
I'm gonna tell you.
Is there a point to
this? That's the rule. If you can get him through all of that, dead serious, man, you've won it as a parent. Dead serious. You didn't know that? They didn't give you that in your parent rules?
No. Well, I know
well,
that
dude,
those
I'm
are
so sorry that
things
they screwed
to
up your parent rules.
Those are things
that's
to strive for, but that's not the end of it.
Yeah, no.
Anyway,
well, that's the end of it for high school. So no, but William, what you probably I would hope you have an English grammar or literature course.
I do.
What
indeed.
Did you get as some of the classes that thou shalt have to take? I mean, what
like
I'm,
English
sorry,
one,
classes.
English
books,
two,
books? They, yeah, sorry, that was long. What books are you going to have to read for this class? Do you know?
Not really, no.
They didn't, like, there's no syllabus. There's no, like.
It was okay, the first day today.
I don't care. They gave me a damn syllabus my first day. They didn't, like, say, oh, okay, so we're all going to be reading this crap.
What? Really? This crap?
Well, sometimes it's crap. Not always. I mean, you know, it's really sometimes hard for me to tell what is a good read in science fiction, fantasy, and literature, and all of that kind of stuff, versus what's a crappy read. I mean, how do you decide, John?
I usually ask our guest.
Do you?
Yes.
Hey, who would that be?
Our guest tonight is Sue from the science fiction literature track. Sue, how you doing?
Very good. Thanks, John. Hi, Lee.
Hey.
Hi.
All right.
And
so
that was not the most ham-handed we've ever had.
But it was close.
It didn't work actually that badly, but it was okay.
It was close.
Yeah, it was close, but we got through it. All right.
So Sue, let me ask real quick. What should a ninth grade student be reading in science fiction literature?
Ray Bradbury.
Okay.
God, yes. Oh, yes.
Yes, Asimov.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Robert Heinlein. Mm-hmm. And Arthur C. Clarke.
Wow, you got all the classics in there.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, all right. So those are classics. From a new perspective, like Ursula K. Gunn, how would you put in the new perspective things?
New perspective things. There's a guy named Charles Gannon. He's only got like 5 books out, but he's really
they're good 5 books. Sometimes, but they're a good 5 books. Yeah.
Well, he also writes in the 1632 alternate history universe.
Oh wow. Okay. Got that. Yeah.
Laura.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to put you on the spot like this.
Okay.
I'm so sorry. Okay.
Laura Ann Gilman is really good.
Oh, okay. Who's that?
She's written a number of different things. Right now, she's doing a series about the Weird West.
I like that. Yeah. Okay.
Western, but with a fantasy supernatural bent.
Okay, sounds cool. Alrighty, there you go.
Well, so enough about my son's reading list.
That we've just, no, we want to
stuff,
give him more
stuff we just assigned him. His homework for this year.
Yeah,
Sue, explain to us exactly what your track is and what you cover. Yeah, what do you do?
My track covers, as its name says, science fiction literature. But I try to spread it out and get a little tint. Little bits of all sorts of literature, mm-hmm. science fiction, fantasy, urban fantasy, etc. Right now, though, I have a lot of military SF authors on my track.
Oh, okay.
And but we like to read. I have a little free library in the back of the room.
Yep.
Plug. You can bring books if you want. Have books you don't want. Or you can take a book if you find one you might like.
And I realize, John, we haven't talked about the charity this year, but I would assume, Sue, the charity is a bit close to your heart.
Oh, it is.
What we're doing this year.
It is.
So our charity this year, if people don't know this, is we are doing literacy. Sue, I cannot remember the exact name, and I'm not near a computer, but there could be a
the exact name either, but
okay, we'll look it up. You'll look it up. So good. Yay, that's John's job. But I want to say that is going to be going on, and the great thing about that is that it's going to there're going to be a lot of different ways to help that. Of course, cash. We love cash.
Oh yeah.
Also, yeah, we love the cash, baby. But also if you wanted to send us you have books in your house that you're not using. There are going to be a lot of book donation places around the con because this is literacy levels at all levels. And, you know, adults like to read lots of different things. A lot of people, that took a long time for people to get to for some unknown reason, but we do. And so there's going to be a lot of requests for different books. So if you have some books you just don't need anymore, you want to get rid of, whatever, please, please, please bring them because that's going to be really cool. And I think it's a wonderful charity. It's Atlanta. It's very small, but they are trying to help adults and others read. And that's I can't imagine what my life would be like if I couldn't read. I really, it's really hard for me to imagine that.
Let me say that any books that aren't taken from my little library will go there.
There you go. See? Yep. Well, and I've actually had some people at work who said, I can't come to Dragon Con, but you told me about this charity. Here you go. And I was like, thank you. I'll take it. So, yeah, it's great. So, yes, there you go. And usually I also have some books that I mean to take over to Sue, but all of a sudden people start picking through them and going, oh, I haven't read that, and they take them. So if you're around
that
next track,
happens a lot.
I mean to take them over to Sue, and then it's all of a sudden like, oh, damn it. Everybody's already got them all. But that's not a bad thing either because then we know people are still reading them, and that's a good thing.
Exactly.
That's a good. Who is it that said that? And that's a. Oh, is that Martha Stewart? I don't want to quote Martha Stewart. Sorry. Okay, but yes, that's a good thing.
So the charity is actually Literacy Action.
Thank you, Literacy Action.
As it says on the DragonCon website, DragonCon will again match dollar for dollar up to $100,000. Any money Woo-hoo! Raised for this charity at the 2018 convention. Now it's interesting that they have they've been in running for 50 years. And let's see, they have a staff of 28 and 21 locations around the Metro Atlanta area.
They do. Yep.
Literacy Action builds better futures for undereducated adults by teaching literacy, life, and work skills that empower them to reach their highest potential. There are thousands of low literate adults in the metro area who desire the ability to enhance their basic education skills. Literacy Action makes this possible, offering a series of adult education classes free of charge with flexible schedules and at multiple convenient locations. So, so it's interesting because it seems, I think the only I'll say major, charity that, Dragon Con's done recently was Special Olympics, but even then it was the Atlanta Special Olympics.
Right.
So Atlanta's really, DragonCon's really focused on the smaller where I mean, if we can match everything up to $100,000, that basically would be what, $200,000, right? For a staff that size, it's a huge, huge boost to them.
Exactly. And I know we're going to get charity on labor, but especially as we're talking about reading with, you know, our person here too, talks about adult books. I just wanted to make sure we brought it up because it is. And again, we've said this all the time, and Sue, I think you'd agree. The issue here is, you know, for the small charities DragonCon chooses, even the Special Olympics, they don't have a huge staff. A lot of this money, first of all, it goes directly to programs, but that means that they're also, you know, able to move money around. So every dime we give them, they're like, oh, wait, then we get to move this and help more people with this. So It's always great, and it feels good to give. So, hey, if you remember your Avenue Q, I feel like I good, you know. Mm-hmm. Remember, it's Avenue Q. It feels good to give to people.
So Sue, who do you have for authors this year?
Well, I have Larry Niven.
Yay!
My first panel of the weekend is a conversation between him and Stephen Barnes, both of whom collaborated with the late Cherry Purnell.
Okay. Yeah, I know that name, Stephen Barnes. How do I know that name, Stephen Barnes?
I'm not sure. I believe he lives here in the Atlanta area now.
Okay. Is he an editor or a writer?
He's a writer. He has collaborated on books with Niven, Purnell, and a number of other people, and also written on his own.
I've probably read something with him, or he's been in a collection. So, yeah. Yay, good. Yay, awesome.
And he is a writer of color as well.
Woohoo!
That kind of ties into our new diversity track.
Yeah, that's great.
I also have David Weber. And Tim Zahn and Larry Correa, a number of up and coming military SF writers, Chris Kennedy.
Excellent. Yay.
The list goes on. Charles Gannon, as I mentioned before, you'll be there.
Well, and as a lot of things happen, what I love, that's a great that's a great author's list. One of the things that does happen, guys, is, guess what? You know that movie, TV show, whatever you like? You know, if it's sci-fi fantasy, probably started from a book or a short story or something like that. You know, I'm now watching Castle Rock on Netflix. Mm-hmm. And while it is not directly related to Stephen King, a novel, it's related to the novels, all of them.
Yeah.
So and that's great because that gives you a tie-in and you're like, oh, I guess I maybe should read the book. Yes. Yes, you should read the book.
Good.
Yes, damn it, you should.
And it's not taken from a book or a story. Mm-hmm. There has to be a writer involved.
Somewhere. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. All that stuff we love does not just show up on the screen because we love it. Nope. So yeah. So that's great too. And then, so then what else? All right. So you got the author. So what are you doing for your panels? How are you setting those up?
I usually begin, and I'm doing it again this year, with a panel on definitions. So what we're talking about when we use certain terms in the field. And
What?
We're focusing on hard science fiction definitions right now. This year, which encompasses a lot of science terms and also, light speed, warp drive, that kind of thing.
Oh, okay. Okay. Gotcha.
Very cool. Very cool. I like that. That's a big help to people because God knows I don't know that crap.
Yeah. We're doing I mentioned it to John before we talk. The editors, I've got Tor and Bain and Ace. Mm.
Excellent.
Presentations on their upcoming works. What they got.
Okay.
Also, Titan Books. Steve Saffel is the editor of Titan Books, and he's going to be there and talk about what they're doing.
Oh, excellent. That's awesome. So, you get to hear some of the new stuff coming out from Titan. That'll be really good.
Yeah.
Titan's those are some great publishing houses. A lot of people may not know them because they're much smaller, but they're good ones. That's awesome. Woohoo! Go you.
Well, thank you. I'm doing a 200 years of women in science fiction panel, which I'm really excited about.
Yes.
Since this is the 200th anniversary of Mary Shelley's Frankenstein.
That's exactly what I was, you know what? I was wondering, I was like, is she doing that because of Frankenstein? Because, you know, one of the first sci-fi horror, whatever you want to call it, is that one. I mean, it really is, guys. Don't pretend it's not. It is. So that's awesome. Woohoos.
And we've got...
John, have you ever read Frankenstein? I'm just going to give you a hard time.
The answer is typically going to be no.
Really?
I've seen
you'd
it.
You'd actually like it. I actually think it would be one you'd like. I really do.
I've seen it. I mean, sorry, William's here. Yes, of course I've read it. It was great. It was better than Cats. I will read it again and again.
Did you really just say it was? Oh my God.
You really
okay.
said
Okay. He did. He really
well,
said
well, I mean, technically.
I'm just ignoring him. Okay, Sue, sorry. Keep going. Please ignore him. But that is really cool about the Mary Shelley with Frankenstein. I mean, I think we don't realize, you know, that's one of those books that kind of started all of this. And it's, whoa, awesome.
I mean, I probably read the comic or the graphic novel.
I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to Sue right now.
The book is completely different, John. But
absolutely. And the book is better. It's always better from the book.
I've seen Young Frankenstein.
Yeah, well, Frankenstein. You didn't even say it right, man.
Yeah.
How can I know you saw it if you can't say it right, John?
It's been a while. So, yeah, 200 years since Women in Science.
Yeah, got it. Yay, go you.
We've got our usual Jeopardy and win, lose, or draw games, which seem to be very popular.
Okay, now wait.
There's prizes.
Oh, prizes. Now, books as prizes is even better. So now I got to ask a question here. Wait.
Yeah?
Win, lose, or draw, or Jeopardy? What? I don't mean that in a bad way, but I'm like, okay, so wait, what
are they?
The win? I understand Jeopardy, but what is win, lose, or draw?
Win, lose, or draw is, it's based on this really, well, it's not really old, like the 80s, I think, game show.
No, that's old. The world.
Yeah. Team has sends one person up to draw something, and that person is given a name, a title, something, having to the convention in this case, generally, and they have to get their teammates to guess it by drawing it.
It's Pictionary.
Pictionary, yeah.
Yeah. You've played that, right? Right, Lee?
Lee?
Oh, she went on mute. She must have.
Sorry, I hit mute. Because I was worried I was making too much noise. I remember Pictionary, and I kind of think I remember that cheesy game show. So that was pretty good, but yeah, it's kind of amazing that that's where we are right now. So woohoo's us.
So those are two. Yeah. Those are two separate panels, correct? It's not.
They are two separate panels.
It's not Jeopardy and Win, Lose, or Draw.
No, there's Jeopardy one day and Win, Lose, or Draw the next. So I'm spreading it out.
Fight!
Okay. I'm doing showcase. Larry Correa is doing a showcase for me.
She's doing what?
Larry Correa will be doing a showcase.
Okay, and, now wait. What's the showcase? Help me.
Well, I have a every year or I try to have a what I call a showcase of one particular author where that author can talk about whatever they want and about their work and answer questions, etc. And just you know, so people will know who they are and what they've done.
Mm-hmm. Oh, very cool.
This case, I've asked his wife to interview him.
That's probably a good idea.
Yeah,
that is probably a good idea.
Or it's a really bad idea.
No, it's an awesome idea, and I want a copy of it after you do it because that is going to be awesome as hell.
Okay, sure.
Because I hope somebody tapes it and puts it up on YouTube or something. Because I actually think a wife or a spouse interviewing the other spouse. Goodness gracious, that would be freaking awesome.
Well, I know both of them, and I think she'll do a really good job.
Oh, I think she will. Yeah, I think it'll be awesome.
Yeah. And I'm doing a collaboration panel in this sense. Hello?
Yeah, I'm right here. I'm right here.
A collaboration panel with David Weber and Tim Zahn.
Oh,
Tim Zahn's there. Okay.
And some other people who are working with David in the Honorverse. It's in this case, it'll be collaborating in the creator's universe, when you're working with the creator of that universe.
Okay, now wait. Yeah, so like, what is that? So like, with Timothy Zahn, he is all of those great, great Star Wars novels that are now no longer canon, even though they keep taking characters from them. What is the other person doing in that?
Well, David Webb, you don't know David Weber. Please.
I think I do, but I'm sitting David here going.
The Honor Harrington books.
He did the what?
The Honor Harrington books.
Oh, yes, I do, because people keep giving me those, and I keep reading them and saying she's the most awesome character I've read in a long time. And why the heck hasn't somebody made a movie or a TV show out of her?
There was talk of it, but it fell through.
No, it'll happen. It'll happen at some point if it's supposed to happen. We'll all just send our positive energy through the universe for that.
But Tim is collaborating with David on a series of novels set in the Honorverse.
Oh, okay.
That's where, the Honor Harrington universe. So that's where that comes in.
Oh, that'll be really cool. That's awesome.
Yeah. I'm trying to think what else I've got. I'm doing a faith and science fiction panel. I'm including Father Small in there.
Father Brian Small.
I know he's one of your favorites.
He is one of our favorites. Father Brian, as he goes by, is a Catholic priest who years ago I stood up at a Dragon Con meeting and said, "Hey guys, I know this is going to sound really crazy, but Extract needs a priest."
An old one and a young one.
Yeah, no, right. No. And everybody kind of looked at me like, "Well, that's a heck of a request, Lee." And I'm like, "Yeah, I know, but that's what I need." And the great thing about Dragon Con, people are like, "Oh, I got a great priest, man. Here you go. Here's my great priest." I'm like, "Thank you." So I had a great priest, and he is really, really great, and he's wonderful, and we all love him. He's really funny. He's a huge, please God, ask him lots of questions, because he is a huge, huge sci-fi geek. It is so funny how much of a geek this man is.
Yeah, I had him on a panel last year as well. It was really fun.
He is a lot of fun. He's very, I'm going to say it, and I really hope it comes out as I mean it. I did not know Father Brian before I met him, and I had no idea who he was or anything else. So for years, when he said Father, I have friends who are both Episcopalian and Catholic, so I'm like, well, I guess he's the Episcopalian side, just because he was much more
relaxed,
much more with it.
Yeah.
No, he seemed much more with it. He was younger. He seemed that way. And then I found out, nope, he's Catholic priest. And I was like, I am. And he was like, no, people do that all the time. I don't know why. I'm like, it's because you're younger and you're kind of funny. And you're a lot funny. And, you know, you like sci-fi. And he just started laughing. He goes, I promise you, there are a lot of Catholics that like sci-fi. So I was like, yes, sir. Yes, sir. You're right. Let me not go down that road. But he's wonderful. And if you have not heard him talk, you should do that. He's going to be, we're talking about the OA, which is that sci-fi show about a woman who comes back from death. He loves that show. Yeah.
I love that show.
Yeah, it was really, really good.
And there's a season two.
That's what I was wondering. I asked that question the other day to somebody, if there was a season two, and I never remembered to look it up. And I can't remember what happened to, I don't want to spoil it, but I can't remember what happened to the guy in that show.
Yeah. Just the guy?
Yeah, you know who I'm talking about? Yeah.
I do know who you're talking about. I can't remember his name either because, you know.
Well, I mean, William, the actor that played Malfoy.
Is that Jason Isaacs?
Jason Isaacs.
Yeah, okay.
There we got it. Jason Isaacs.
Well, always. Isn't it always Jason Isaacs? That's always a great answer. That should always be the answer. Jason Isaacs, Alan Rickman, or who else? Who played Lupin? Who was that?
Oh,
David Dewis? I'm going to say it wrong, but
I can't remember.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Somebody did. Okay. But anyway, moving on.
Yeah, there you go. But whatever, that's a great one. So yay, go it. Yeah.
Now, Sue, sorry, Lee, I do got to know, why did you need a priest way back when?
Way back then, that's when we still did this. This is Sue's podcast, where we're talking about me. We did the Skeptics versus Believers panel. I had a cryptozoologist, I had a researcher, I had a ghost hunter, and I was like, you know, I'm not trying to say
we,
that
we haven't
normal
we haven't been controversial
not.
Enough. Let's go ahead
Let
and bring in religion.
Yeah, and so I brought in a priest, and I was like, "There you go," because you know that kind of covers every part of, huh? This is a little bit different, and that's what I did.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So Sue, what other panels do you have going this year?
I have one called The Military Mind. Which examines whether you have to be or have been in the military to write good military science fiction.
Oh. What has been your thought so far on that? I'm just curious.
I don't think you have to, but I think it really helps.
Yeah. It adds something to it if you
the writers I know who write that who have been in the military or are currently in the military seem to have more of a grasp of how the military, you know, is working in whatever they've created, you know.
That's really cool, though. I like that idea. I mean, I think that's, who was it? Was it Jane Austen, who was one of the first people who ever said, you know, you write what you know?
Yeah.
People always like, Jane Austen, you know, she only writes about this, this, and this. And even then, women were being literary criticized, and she was like, you know, I'm writing what I know. And you don't always have to do that, but for some of us, that's where we are. So, yeah, that's a great idea. Love it. Love it, love it, love it.
Let's see, what else am I doing?
Sue, what you doing, Sue? Come on, Sue.
I'm having a Monday morning. You can join us for Comfort Brie.
For Comfort Brie?
Reads.
Comfort Reads. Oh, okay. Or Brie. You know, you can bring the Brie.
I don't know. You can bring some if you want.
I did. I was like, that's awesome. I get to go get cheese. I love cheese.
But I don't know. Monday in the morning might not be the best time for cheese.
Yes.
Dragon Con.
For some many people, cheese would be bad. Yeah.
We're discussing the books we always go back to or books that actually demand that you read them more than once.
So, Sue, I'm just curious, what is your comfort book?
My comfort book?
Mm-hmm.
It depends on what kind of comfort I'm looking for.
Yeah, that's good. That is my, you know what, I'll go there. That's kind of my answer, too. So, yeah, let's just say, you know what, it's been a crazy couple of weeks at work. You just need to lose yourself in a book and de-stress.
Stranger in a Strange Land.
Excellent, excellent idea. I think I'm sitting here thinking with mine, it depends on the season.
Yeah.
Because if it's summer and I just need to lose myself in a book, it's either going to be, and these are the polar opposites. Just depends on how stressed I am or what the kind of stress is. It's either going to be To Kill a Mockingbird or Stephen King's The Stand. If it's the summer-ish time, because I can't read The Stand when it's not hot. If it's winter, it's probably Pride and Prejudice. Yeah. And John, I'm sorry, William, how about you? What's your comfort read?
I like the idea of reading, not the actual action
Lord.
Of reading.
All right, Sue, we got to
work. What's perfect for me?
Sue to work on. Oh, God. Sue,
well, weirdly, mm-hmm. Sue and I have something in common. I, too, will listen to Stranger in a Strange Land when I want to de-stress. You're not talking about Iron Maiden, though.
I don't think she's talking Iron Maiden, and I also don't think, since she wasn't talking audiobook either, but good try.
But that's okay. Audiobook, a lot of fans like audiobooks.
Well, I was referring to the audio Maiden.
That's not what he's talking about.
Iron Maiden song. Heavy metal song.
He's talking about the metal song.
Oh.
Stranger in a Strange Land. He is totally being a bad, bad person. And a terrible parenting role model who I always thought he was a much better parent than I was. Sorry.
You've read all the way through Harry Potter. You've read all the way through. You do a fair amount of reading.
Yeah, my son is actually on his.
I guess I don't know what the standard baseline is.
No, that's good.
More than me would be better.
Yeah, more than your father, William. More than your father.
I read all the time when you're not looking.
You read all the time when I'm not looking. Really?
When he's not looking.
Okay. Yeah. You know what?
I'm always reading if you don't see me.
I will totally call your butt out on that one. But no, that's a good one. My son is rereading. Duncan is rereading the Harry Potter stuff. He just was like, I want to do it. No, that... And Stu, he's trying to get into reading the full Gunslinger. It took him like 3 months to get through the first novel because he was like, Mom, I don't want to hear any more about this damn desert. You got to go through the desert to get to the good stuff, dude. I am so sorry.
There is good stuff there. Just tell him to keep going.
That's a good point to also point out that the literature tracks are split actually too, right? So there's the fantasy. Yeah. There's, I think it's actually called high fantasy now.
No, there's a high fantasy and a fantasy.
Ah, there we go. Okay.
Hey, there you go.
Yeah. And the science fiction track. And you focus just strictly on the science fiction aspect,
the hard sciences. The hard sciences. Basically,
Arthur C. Clarke and time travel. I mean, you know, because he wrote so many books about that. Or H.G. Wells and the Time Machine, which was excellent. So, yeah.
I also do a panel every year on remembering a classic author that might have forgotten. And this year we're doing Jack Williamson.
And I've forgotten him, so who's that?
Jack Williamson.
I will admit when I have forgotten people, guys. I'm not ashamed.
I remember him.
I've read him, though. You remember somebody in high school that you went, you played basketball with who's named Jack Williamson. I'm sorry, Sue. Ignore John.
No, it's okay. Jack Williamson, his most famous book is probably Darker Than You Think, which is pretty much a supernatural horror story, not really science fiction.
But that's always good.
He also wrote science fiction and is considered one of the classics.
Excellent. That's awesome. That's really cool. I like that. Have you ever had people, and you probably have, so this is good, but tell us your like favorite story. Somebody who came to your panels and was doing everything and all of a sudden went, I didn't even know about this author. And then, they come back a year later and they said, you turned me on to this author and now I've read everything. And oh my God, I didn't realize how much I'd missed. Or what's your favorite story about that you've set somebody up on a great road to reading?
That
was a great author.
Because I don't really have a story like that.
You don't? Really?
I don't. Unless you're... it's a friend of mine who's done some fan panels for me as well. His son came to Dragon Con when he was 16. And this was 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. And was really kind of wow about all these great writers and so forth. So he started he came every year after that. I haven't seen him for a while, but I assume he's still coming.
He probably is still coming, but now he's branched out, right? That's what we love. I mean, dead serious, guys. We love that. I know y'all think we're not honest about it. We really do. We're really glad when you find new stuff, because you know what?
Yeah.
The first one's free. The rest are going to cost you. Yeah.
And you're a little boy. Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry. And you're buying books. You're in deep trouble. Although, used books, great way to do it.
Books in general. I'm just a book pusher.
I am too. And I got to say, very honestly.
It's not illegal, guys. It's not illegal.
It's not illegal. The first one's free, but, we'll give you. Yeah, because you can pick one out of her box. That didn't sound right. But you can pick one out of Sue's small library or whatever track room has a small library. But it is kind of, it's wonderful to see somebody who does that. I love my son when he was little, and John, probably William did this, or maybe not. Somebody gave my son two boxes of old comics. And they're not like great comics. These are 70s and 80s, like Hulk, the Incredible Hulk and all of that kind of stuff, right? And they're not great, guys. They're not, these aren't like vintage, right? But he went through them. And he couldn't read. He got them when he was like 5 and he couldn't yet get all the words, right? So he would actually look at the pictures and make up stories. And then he said what was great is because he'd done that when he read Harry Potter, he saw things very much in his head as he was reading.
Yeah.
And I think that's really kind of amazing. If you can start them early, of course, age appropriate, but if you can start them early, it's always great. I love that. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I love I love finding people who all of a sudden went, you know, I was never a big reader. I would read. I didn't like it. But now all of a sudden I love it because I got turned on to whatever it was.
And when you read a really good book, you do kind of see it in your head. At least I do.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. And which sometimes makes, that's one reason I think sometimes makes the movies they make out of my book.
Yeah.
Not so good because it's not what I thought it looked like.
Yeah, that was a big thing. Well, The Gunslinger had other issues. We won't get into that.
Yeah, it did.
That had a lot of issues. But I will also say that that was one that it was hard. At first, it was like, that's not Roland when they put Idris Elba in. And then all of a sudden, I went, no, wait. Think about Idris Elba. Think about what he's done. Think about what you want to see in Roland.
Yeah,
Idris Elba is perfectly, absolutely freaking outstanding. Because I love Idris Elba. I mean, you could say, Idris Elba's in this movie. I'm like, I'm there. Let's go. I'm waiting on him to become a damn Marvel superhero. Hurry the hell up.
Well, he was. He was Heimdall.
That's
true,
right. He's
Heimdall.
Right.
Yeah.
Thank you. I'm sorry.
Remember, there was a big stink about.
He might be the next James Bond, I hear.
I'm so sorry. That is the. Oh, my God. I'll go to James Bond movies with my husband if that happens. Deads, I hate those damn things. Idris Elba's in them. I'm on it. I'm there. Each and everyone opening weekend with my husband. So good. So John, Sue and I have been chatting a while. Your turn.
Yeah.
I was gonna ask Sue, so where can people find you at Dragon Con?
Ah, well, they can find me in the Hyatt Hotel in Embassy A and B in the International Tower.
Okay, so folks, John can't tell you where this is. So if you're on the lobby level of the Hyatt, that is where you are checking in at the Hyatt, okay? Before you go anywhere else, that's like the base level right off Peachtree Street.
The Hyatt's somewhere in the middle. Right? Oh, no, that's the Marriott. Never mind.
The Hyatt is the one at the very start. John, do not confuse people. You go into the Hyatt through those doors. You go through those doors, either the revolving doors or the one that's going to open. At that point, they have them both open, guys, because everybody's coming in with big-ass costumes. And you turn to your right. You go down this little hallway. There's another set of elevators. There are escalators to go down and up and everything else. Go down those and keep going until you find her room. Ta-da! There's the International Tower.
That is correct.
And do not ask John for directions if you see him, because you will end up in the freaking Ritz-Carlton going, I did not ask for high tea. How did John get me here? Oh. Trust me.
Yeah.
Don't ask him. I put a tracker on him. He doesn't understand this. Every year I put a tracker on him and I have a little app so I can find him. I'm like, okay, there's John. Let me
make
go
sure. Well, that's just to make sure I'm on my way to the panel.
Well, I'm like, he's lost again. He's trying to find the con suite. He's in the Hyatt. He's on floor 12, 22. He knows it's a 2. That's good. All right.
He's on floor 2, John. 2.
Mm-mm.
What's on floor 2?
It don't help.
The con suite?
God love it.
No, it's
God
not. I've been there. It's not there.
Yes, it is, John.
Yes,
no,
it is.
There is nothing on. John. There is nothing on floor 2. I don't know what you're talking about. You guys, I feel like you guys have been gaslighting me all these years.
Here's the issue. If I did not give John cookies and Coke in my track room, he might never find food at con that he doesn't have to pay for.
Ah.
Dead serious.
Con suite doesn't exist.
Yeah. Con suite
doesn't exist. I'm convinced now. I'm convinced this is just all a big prank on me.
So I want to ask one quick question.
Okay.
Sue, what book are you reading right now? And what book would you tell everybody if they like hard science fiction to read?
I am reading right now the Monster Hunter Files.
Okay.
An anthology of stories set in Larry Correia's Monster Hunter universe.
Ooh, I love Larry Correia. He's so good. There's
Cody LeBlanc in it and John Ringo and a couple other people that you might know.
Oh, John Ringo, no, but keep going. Yes, ma'am. Sorry.
Also, read the Expanse books.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, mm-hmm. The books. The show is dynamite, but read the books.
The show is dynamite. Thank you, Sue, because I think the show is dynamite, but I got hooked on the books.
Yeah.
And they are dynamite plus. They are so good. They're a great page turner. You can't put them down. They're wonderful. dead serious.
The science is right.
And the science is right. And the, okay, so one thing, and I'm not spoiling the books for anybody, there is a, this has been years and years and years, and we have people who are, Sue, correct me if I'm wrong on the planet, because it's been a long time since I read the first one, Jupiter, who are basically, they've set up on a moon. And the children who have been born, because they're not born in like Earth's gravity, their bones are very different and they grow differently. So they grow like really spindly and all of this.
Okay, you're talking about the asteroid miners.
The asteroid miners, yes, thank you.
Yeah, and the belters.
The belters, right. The asteroid belt.
There's gravity out there, so they grow different. Yeah. Yeah.
They grow different. Thank you. I knew. Yeah, I needed your help, Sue. I know I did. So it's the asteroid belt that's between Mars and Jupiter. And what's great about it is it literally, science-wise, that makes sense. You know, the next generation of children is going to look like, and I kind of think about WALL-E. Guys, go look at those captains in WALL-E. That's part of it.
Yeah, exactly.
But in the belters, it's different because they are actually working, and so they've grown in this way or that way or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Cool.
Sorry, John, we just had to go there.
Oh, are there any other panels you wanna highlight before we move on to our game tonight?
Oh God, game.
You're having a game? Okay.
Yep. He always has a damn game. Oh, can't get him away from it.
Yeah.
Gosh darn game. Sorry, I should use appropriate.
I think we covered all the big points. We have a lot of little points to come. I'd like to invite everybody to come and see us. And
yes.
You'll find something that you'll enjoy.
All right.
And if you see this woman who looks like she could be a librarian, and she's going to say, shh, that's it. That's it. Dead serious, man. I love her, but she does look like every time I'm like, I got to be quiet.
Oh, I do. Okay. No, I'll take it. I'll take it.
Does everybody whisper at your panels?
No. There are some very raucous panels that we
have. I've been in one of her panels, and they were arguing about something, and I was like, oh, Jesus, who's going to throw the first punch? I was really worried.
We're very passionate.
Yes. There you go. Well, dude, when you love something, you're of course passionate about it. I mean, I got to tell you, I just reread the whole Gunslinger series. Because I had to remember why I loved it after the movie. I had to remember why I loved it. And so I went through the whole thing and I was like, all right. And I loved it. And but they talk a lot about the book Insomnia by Stephen King. And I haven't reread that in, oh my God, I don't remember well. Guess what I'm reading right now? There you go.
Insomnia, right?
Insomnia, yep. Yep. And I'm reading that. I go between two books. There's also a redo of the Pride and Prejudice. First of all, as I said, Pride and Prejudice, one of my favorites. There was something called, what is it? I'm forgetting. I think it's Engaged. No, it's not. What is it? Hold on a second. I have it right beside my bed. I will go and find it. Yay. Walking. It is called... And if it is Engaged, someone would be really... It's called Eligible, sorry. And it's by Curtis Little Littenfeld, but it's a retelling of Pride and Prejudice in today's era.
Oh,
and cool. I freaking adore this book. I'm sorry. I'm only in like three chapters because I go back and forth with a lot of books, but it's awesome. It's so much fun. So, FYI.
Okay.
If you're looking for one. If you like Pride and Prejudice, you will like this.
So, Sue, we've over the course of the years, I've accumulated terrible trivia.
Oh my God,
games.
Sue, these are so bad. So bad. Run fast.
So one of the worst ones that we have is the Star Wars Family Feud.
Why, John?
I think we're all convinced that nobody actually answered this, and it was filled in by autocomplete.
We are completely convinced of that. If you're asking me,
so. So what we're going to do is William is going to ask us a question, and a la Family Feud style, we will just, we'll start with you, Sue. You'll give your best answer for that question, then Lee, and then I will give our best answer for that question, and then he'll compare it to the scores on the card, and we'll do five of these, and then at the end we'll tally and see who won.
And FYI, people who are curious and worried, William has not thrown me under the bus yet. So I think he's being pretty honest on these. So don't worry about that. Because in many, many years, John has thrown me under the bus.
Oh, whatever. It's all perception. It's only in your mind.
No, I trust William. I don't trust you.
All right, William, give us our first question.
Name an achievement that Han Solo could brag about.
Name an achievement that Han Solo could brag about. Sue.
Making the Kessel Run in less than 12 parsecs.
There you go. Lee?
Having a Wookiee as a friend.
And I'll say shot first.
Oh, that's a good one. Oh, you win.
Okay, so what are the scores for
Kessel Run wins, but you're close second.
Kessel Run and Shot Creator first were on the list.
Yeah, I wouldn't worry about that.
Kessel Run was first for 54 points.
So he gets 54 points. And shot first, got how many?
4 points.
What?
Four.
Wait. All right, so what's in between there?
Yeah, right.
The lowest just below Chewing Greedo first is Good Pilot. Then there's also, above that is, I'm bringing this verbatim, that Fast Ship, Death Star, and marrying Leia.
I actually wondered about, like, you know, sleeping with a princess. I was like, but that sounds wrong to say on a family podcast like 50 Days. But I guess these awful Family Feud people didn't believe that.
Next question, William.
What would be a good way to hide yourself from Tusken Raiders on Tatooine?
Would be a good way to hide yourself from Tusken Raiders. Sue.
Bury yourself in the sand.
All right, Lee.
Hold on. My headphones came out of my phone. Because my dog is desperately needy. Wait. Best way to hide yourself?
Yes.
Hide in the rocks?
In the rocks, she says. In the rocks.
That's all I think. Well, I mean, like, hide in. Yeah, hide.
I'm gonna say play dead. Are any of those on the list?
I would say the play dead is the most effective out of all of those, but it's not on the list. The other two are.
The other two are on the list, but play dead is not. Okay.
In sand and behind rocks are on the list, yes.
Okay.
In sand was first for 27 points.
Wow, Sue.
Woo, go Sue.
All right, and what was rocks?
5 points.
5 points. So technically, Lee is beating me right now by 1 point. What else is on the list?
From the bottom, with Jedi.
Hiding with a Jedi, okay.
Sorry, I have to giggle at that, sorry guys.
In the city, camouflage, with hypothetically with sand, so it's, anyway. In caves, or disguise.
Alright. Next question, William. Number three.
Wait, John?
Yeah.
I cannot hear you through my headset. So give me just a second, okay?
Okay. How did you know that I said sorry, yes?
Well, if I don't do it through the headset, you're going to be like, oh, it sounds really weird. I'm on a damn iPhone, which I hate. Shush, and my dog is like just figured out that I'm leaving. Screw it.
It's
all
not,
right, even, keep going.
Not even the right one.
screw it. Go. Whatever.
Yeah, we've only got two more to go. Three more to go. Go. William.
Other than Princess Leia, which Star Wars character would look great in high heels?
Other than Princess Leia, which Star Wars character would look great in high heels?
Lando.
Oh, damn. He could rock some heels. As far as cracking. John.
Yeah, I'm writing down the timestamp.
Thank God. All right. So Lando, that's a good one. Which character other than, you know, I'm going to go with Luke.
And I'm going to go with C-3PO.
That's actually pretty awesome, though, if you think about it.
None of those are on the list.
None of them were on the list. Okay.
None?
Was Admiral Akbar on the list?
No. On the list was Chewbacca, Ahsoka, Tano, Rey, and Padme Amidala.
Rey and Pad. Mm-hmm. Okay, so, all right. The all spirit right. of that question
I
is...
I should have gone with my first this would be funny idea, which was Chewbacca, but I was trying to be kind of real, but okay.
Yeah, and I was I don't know if it's if it's sexist of me or not, but I was discounting other female characters. I just assumed that.
I was too.
I just assumed if we're not talking about Princess Leia, we must be saying, you know.
Yeah.
Non-traditional.
I didn't make the rules.
Non-traditional.
Okay.
High heel wearing folks.
John, how much did you pay for this one?
I don't know.
You don't have the price tag still on it? You sure?
Oh, I don't. This one was $5 too, I think.
Dear Lord. Yeah. Way too much money, John. Way too much money.
I remember picking it up being excited, thinking that for sure we could play this.
This would be awesome.
Yeah, we tried playing it as a family and we were all just like, this is just not
this is
the unplayable.
Dumbest thing I've ever seen in my life, yeah.
All right, number 4.
Which Star Wars character would you hate to share an elevator with?
Sue.
Would I hate to share an elevator with? Job of the Hutt.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah. I'm back. Wait, sorry. What was the question?
Which Star Wars character would you least like to be stuck in a elevator with at Dragon Con?
And what did Sue say?
Jabba the Hutt.
That is a good one. I'm going to go with Chewbacca. That's a big person.
Chewbacca. I'll go with. Whew, those are two really good ones.
Although I totally believe Chewbacca uses a conditioner that probably smells like wonderful, wonderful fruit and berries and shit. So.
I'll go with Darth Vader, assuming that for some reason that the auto fill put in Darth Vader because it said Star Wars. Yeah. Yes, go on.
Go with that one, yeah. That's good. Dude, you got like a 50-50 chance. Go for it, yeah.
Jabba the Hutt and Darth Vader were on the list.
Oh, Chewbacca was not. All right, so how many points is Jabba?
37 points. It was 30, the top of the list.
37, wow. Woo-hoo! Okay, and Darth?
Who is kicking our butt
5 points.
This,
5 points. Okay. What else is on that list?
Darth Maul, C-3PO, Emperor Palpatine, and Jar Jar Binks.
Jar Jar, that would be awful.
All right, last question.
Jar Jar
and the final epic question is, which Star Wars character would most likely love cats?
Which Star Wars character would most likely love cats?
The animal or the musical?
Love cats, yeah.
Yeah, the musical.
The question is, will they love them to eat?
Love them.
Some other reason. I'm going to say Chewbacca.
Damn it, Sue. Who would love some damn cats? You know, I'm going to go with that eat thing, so I'm going to go with Jabba the Hutt.
Jabba, okay. I will go with Jar Jar Binks. And?
Chewbacca was said, right?
Yes.
Chewbacca was top of the list.
Chewbacca was
for 40 points.
40.
And Jar Jar Binks was 5 points.
Ooh, Jar Jar was... Jar Jar be on there.
Jar Jar be there. Nobody forgets.
And who else was on that list?
Darth Vader, presumably for calendar photos. Kylo Ren.
Kylo Ren, really?
Really?
Kylo Ren, Padme Amidala, C-3PO, Yoda, and Princess Leia.
Okay, wait. I'm sorry. We gotta talk this Kylo Ren thing. What? He's got like all black cats that follow him around.
Yeah.
With this one tuxedo that showed up and is like making fun of him all the time. What? Come on, people. John, well, I swear, if you paid $5 for this, you paid too much.
While I tally the scores,
Sue even agrees with me. Ha 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 ha.
I think you paid too much, John.
I love you, Sue.
Sue, let everyone know where they can find you at DragonCon.
Keep harassing him. Go, go, go.
I'm sorry, say again?
Let everyone
Keep
know again where...
him. Go, go, go.
What? No. Sue, Lee, Sue, let everyone know where they can find you at DragonCon once again.
They can find me. The Science Fiction Literature Track is in the rooms Embassy A and B in the International Tower of the Hyatt. I will be there most of the time.
Yes, you will. Welcome to
being a tracker. When I go get my photo op with Catherine Tate. However,
did you sign up for one?
I did. Yes.
Congratulations. Very good. She is one of my. My problem is I have like 1.1, 1.11, 1.12 of three, my favorite three companions. I can't like put them in like, they're not number one. They are number one, depending on what episode I'm watching right then. So yeah. Oh God, I loved her. Donna was like the first companion. I mean, well, my first companion was Amy, but then Donna was a close second. How about you?
Well, my very first companion was Sarah Jane Smith.
Oh, really? So you were okay, that's awesome.
Because Tom Baker was my first doctor.
Okay.
But, and I really didn't like Donna in Runaway Bride.
No, I didn't either, but I liked her later, yeah.
Companion, she was much better.
Oh, yeah. Well, they let her be more Catherine Tate. And
yeah.
Donna as Catherine Tate, which I'm just like, please love me. Please love me. Please love me. No, I love Donna. So my first companion was Amy because, as I said, I never got into the show. We've talked about this before, but I never got into the show till later. But then it was like, wait. And my son was watching The Tenant Doctor, which I guess is now 10. Yeah. Although that count doesn't really work anymore with the War Doctor, but whatever. So I was watching The Tenant Doctor, 10. And I was like, wait, who's this Donna? I like her. I like her a lot. And I just want to tell that, what's his name? Whoever wrote it, who was it? Was it Russell? It was the other guy.
Moffat.
Dear Moffat, what you did to Donna, you will burn in hell for. I'm just FYI.
Oh, God, yes.
You will burn.
Yes, yes.
It may only be for a couple of days. I'm not saying you're not getting into heaven later. That might be your perdition time. Purgatory time, sorry. But you are, you shall burn a little bit for what you did to Donna. How dare you? Sorry. All right. If you don't know what that means, you need to go watch it. But we'll talk about it later.
All right, so William, give us the scores.
In less, that isn't accurate. So, Lee was in last place with 5 points.
Woohoo!
Second place was John for 14 points.
Oh, dude, really? Seriously, 9?
And
that's awesome.
And the top was 158 points. Was Sue?
Yay!
Yay, Sue! All right,
158 so. Over 14 over 9.
Right.
Oh, John, we didn't even get like a tenth of her score.
I got almost a tenth. If we add our scores together, it's almost a tenth.
That's painful. That's painful.
I don't read, but I can do math. All right, thank you once again, Sue, for joining us. We appreciate it.
Well, thank you for having me.
And it's always a pleasure. And until next time, for William, Lee, and Sue, this is John saying peace.
I have not forgotten the face of my father.
Bye. Bye.
Bye.
This has been a production of The Unique Geek. To leave a comment or suggestion, call us at 833-210-TUG or email us at thegeeks@theuniquegeek.com. Follow The Geeks on Twitter. @TheUniqueGeek. This podcast is distributed under a Creative Commons Share Alike non-commercial license.